Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, which happens to be start of the Players' Championship, one of Frank Bassett's favorite days of the year. Although he wishes he was there, and unfortunately they have not moved the Players' Championship to Nashville. Would have been a lot better for Frank if they had. But it's still in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Nevertheless, we'll talk about that pretty exclusively on today's show, and we'll be joined by our good friend Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio, who'll be there to call some of the action with the other boys from PGA Tour Radio. But he's right there on the scene in Ponte Vedra Beach to give us a little insight into that. So can't wait. Scotty Scheffler going for the three-peat. Almost seemed impossible to win two in a row. Nobody had ever done that until last year. And now he has a chance to win three in a row and continue to make history. So that's just one of the storylines playing out at the Players' Championship. As I mentioned, Frank Bassett is in our Nashville studios and not in beautiful Florida and joins us now. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm doing okay. Just unhappy that I can't be there this year at the Players' Championship. But
you love this tournament, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, my favorite. My family. Yeah. You know, I lived there for close to 17 years, right there on property at Sawgrass Country Club in Ponte Vedra Beach. We used to joke that you haven't arrived unless your phone prefix is 285. And that was the phone prefix in Ponte Vedra. And it was a blast down there. And it is every year. The course, I got to tell you, I've been watching every inch of Golf Channel coverage. And the course is every year it gets better looking and better looking and harder and harder. They've taken number 14, and we'll talk about that later, and turned it into a monster hole.
Really?
Yeah, they really have. It used to be difficult, but it was gettable. Now it's just like, oh my God, there's just no bailout. And so Wagner did a special on that last night on the Golf Channel that was really good. Yeah.
I was reading what Scotty had to say, and he was saying that this is a course for everybody and for nobody. Kind of his comment. He said anybody could win and anybody can shoot an 85 almost. He said it's not a courses for horses. He said it's a very unique property, and he said he gave a lot of praise to the designers and Pete Dye and the remakes and everything else. He said it's just a spectacular challenge for golf. And so to speak to your point, it's 18 very tough holes. So when you win this, which is a very exclusive list of players that have won it, you've had a really good golf tournament to win a tournament like this one because of the conditions. And here we are in March again, which we've talked about the last few years, switching it back to the spring. I don't know the forecast. I haven't looked at that. I assume maybe you have. The only thing, it's usually chillier, obviously, and it can be windier and a different wind, right? A north wind, I guess, as opposed to when they played it later in the summer, which could make it even more challenging.
But it does play a little softer in the March than it did in May. It kind of burned up in May.
More rain.
So it could play a little softer. But, again, you have the north wind, which is the way Pete designed that course, where you have holes that will just eat you alive.
Bury it.
And, and we've talked about that at nauseam with our good friend Steve Elkington, two-time winner of the Players' Championship, both of which were in March. So, he's talked about it.
Which he's extremely proud of, and he should be. Because I only won it twice. He goes, I won it twice in March.
Yeah, he said,
not everybody can do that.
He said, I won it twice in March.
So, like it's a whole nother tournament.
And it is. It is. It's something else. And he beat Tiger at the height of his powers, in that tournament.
Yeah. A young, healthy Tiger.
Which
is another storyline about Tiger being injured once again.
He was
trying to get ready to play in the Masters. And as we know, he's got a very limited schedule anyway and has not. We haven't seen him at all this year. And he hurt his Achilles tendon, ruptured it and said, and this is kind of funny, Frank, but there's always a little bit of skepticism on my part.
When you see what Tiger says,
I think he always, he always kind of sugarcoats things. That he goes, so this was a minimally evasive surgery for a ruptured
Achilles
tendon.
Any surgery is a surgery.
I'm going, okay, he still ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Yes.
That's, minimally evasive. Maybe they poke smaller holes. Or smaller incisions or whatever, but they still have to repair a torn Achilles tendon, which sometimes can take up to a year to fix, to heal, to recoup.
Between Woods and myself, which I'll be under the knife tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Tomorrow morning, I have to be there at 5:30 at the hospital. I have retina surgery tomorrow. Not laser, pure retina surgery where they cut a slice on each side of the eye and they drain the fluid. It's all sorts of. They explained it to me, and I said, if you had not explained that crap to me, I'd be okay. Yep. Now I'm a nervous wreck. I don't want to know. Just do your job. Do your job, Belichick.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, there between Tiger Woods and myself, there is going to be a new chapter written in Grey's Anatomy. You know, the medical book. I mean, the Encyclopedia of Medicine, because I've seen more doctors than Nurse Diesel
the last year, haven't you?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of stuff happened, and it's just crazy stuff. You know, legs falling down, stump. You know, golf course twisting. You know, it's just nuts. Anyway,
well,
it's all
it
over.
It happened to you. Not old, but in a later stage of life, it happened to Tiger, which is the frustration for a lot of Tiger fans, and I'm sure for him, in what should be the prime of his career, right? For the last 10, 15 years, when he was, you know, late 30s to now he's, pushing 50, he's been so unhealthy. And that was when a lot of people thought he's surely going to catch Jack. He's got a good 10, 15 years of playing great golf.
Yeah.
And it's just one thing after another, after another.
Not meant to be, baby.
Couldn't play. So now he's out again. Won't play. I'm sure we won't see him at all this year. And the last time we saw Tiger was missing the cut at the British Open. So we saw him, I guess, play with Charlie, right, in the father son thing, that kind of unofficial. But he just can't get on the course. So yeah, it's. I was talking to Steve Johnson. He said he called him Porcelain Tiger. He said he can't. And he was doing a training to get healthy, to get ready for that. I mean, so it wasn't like it was a freak accident. He was just training and, you know, did something. And he goes, I felt a pop, and there you go.
His body was never built to go through what it's gone through. It just
wasn't.
Guess not.
Just wasn't.
Yeah, a lot of us aren't built to be athletes. I mean, I was, I played a lot of sports and loved them. And I realized also that I was never going to be in the NFL nor on the PGA Tour. So I do it for fun, not NFL. Yeah. Not football. Hell no.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I wouldn't. Fun. I couldn't. If I were a quarterback in the NFL today, I couldn't take a snap. I'd be under center looking across that line going, Christ Jesus, it's a caterpillar tractor coming at me at 500 miles an hour. You know.
And for the money they're paying them, I'm telling you, I'd take a snap and take a knee every time.
Well,
Coach,
you would
looking at me like, first down, Tim. First down. I'm like, let's take a knee. It's just play out the clock. Nobody's going to
hit the clock from the first quarter on.
I'm making $60 million a year, bud. I'm not taking a hit. What are you, crazy?
Oh my God. No, I got to tell you, I'm not going to plug the Golf Channel, but we have a lot of friends there, And last night on Live from the Players, if you can go back and see last night's episode, Hal Sutton was on. And how it was live there at the course, which he's Hal's been on Golf Talk America several times in the early years when you were doing the game.
Okay.
And we were doing Golf Talk America, and Doug Bell was doing his show, all of us on PGA Tour Radio. And Hal told a story last night, and I'll just give you a little bit of it. Paul McGinley told the story. And he was complimenting Hal. He said, I have to tell you a story that nobody really knows about, to what happened after that Ryder Cup that year that, you know, we got thumped, that Hal was the Ryder Cup captain. Yeah.
Right.
And he quit golf after that. I mean, he just walked away. It was so devastating the way everything went down, and people just called him everything,
blamed him for everything.
Blamed him for everything. And Hal is one hell of a nice man. I mean, super guy. Anyway, he said, so that, you know, everybody partied all night. Nobody had been to bed that Sunday night. We're getting up Monday at 5:30 a.m. We're leaving, getting on the bus to head to the airport. And we start coming down the elevator and coming out into the lobby of the hotel. And there stands Hal Sutton with his Ryder Cup jacket on and his wife shaking everyone's hands, congratulating them.
Hmm.
What a class act.
Yeah.
What a class act.
Despite everything that went wrong. Which is pretty much everything. And if I remember correctly, the controversy, most of it, didn't he try to pair up unpairable kind of guys? And people were like, okay, Phil shouldn't play with Tiger.
Yeah.
This guy shouldn't play with that. And he tried to make it a different kind of team instead of doing the friendly thing, which is what everybody kind of does, is, you know, Frank and Tim like each other. Okay, you guys go play.
Yeah.
He tried to mix it up a little bit and get maybe even a little competition amongst themselves,
it backfired.
Didn't work.
Yeah, totally backfired. Yeah. Especially the Tiger Phil thing just fell apart.
Well, it wasn't quite as entertaining as the Tom Watson experiment, which still, you got to go back and look at Phil throwing him so under the bus.
Oh yeah, that was uncalled for.
That it was, but it was entertaining, wasn't it? You're like, man, you just do not see players ripping on coaches.
Yeah, but he did. If, you will, if I had been case, Watson, I'll tell you, if I'd been Watson, I'd have said, hang on just a second, Phil. I'd have picked up my phone and gone, yeah, he's here right now. Yeah, the 20 mil he owes you? Yeah, I'll hold him here until you get here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He got a lot of things he could have. Or let's just blend
Watson class act it. Yeah. You want to compare majors? Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but it's built, and we're talking about it, but it's built for great drama in the Ryder Cup. So we're looking forward to that again this fall, right?
Yeah.
It'll be great.
It'll be great.
We hope.
But this week and this morning, it's starting right now, and I will be glued to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be 80 degrees here and gorgeous. And everybody says, Are you playing today? Are you playing? I said, no, you're not going to see my butt until the tournament's over.
They're glued. Ready to tee it off. The first guys off.
Yes,
so
they are. And
is this full field, by the way, Frank? I mean, is this 144 guys?
144, yeah. And it's the top 47 or 48 of the top 50 players in the world as they're ranked today. Okay. We know the boys that live aren't ranked. But yeah, it is.
Well, they did get it. There is a guy, an Englishman. I was reading about this. There's an Englishman who is actually a LIV Tour guy that his name is Laurie. It sounds weird, I know, but Laurie Cantor.
Yes.
Is actually playing, and he had been playing LIV Tour. And was cashing some checks. He had some kind of a bit of an obscure. He got in as an alternate, but he played some European Tour thing. Anyway, it was a weird way he got in. But he's a top 50 player now. But he has played LIV Tour. So
yes.
That's a little crick in the
chink in the armor,
an exclusivity, if you will, of no LIV guys playing. But we're getting there. That's a whole other story. But hopefully, we're getting there where we'll finally see Koepka and DeChambeau and all those guys at the Players. Well, like we want to. We all want to see the best players there. And we're not, unfortunately. So that's, but it is what it is. And they say they're working on it. And Trump has nothing else going on, I don't think, in his world.
The reason they're going to Trump, but we all know why they're going to Trump with this. We all know, because he'll pick up the phone and call Pam Bondi and say, okay, let's not look into this, Department of Justice stuff with, the two tours. That's why they're doing it. They're not doing it for him to help put it together. They're doing it for him to take the gloves off, take the cuffs off, I should say.
Yeah. And,
sorry.
And he, plus he, is, I mean, like him or not, like it doesn't matter, but he does facilitate stuff. I mean,
he does
get stuff done.
Does.
Now, you're not going to agree with it all, obviously, and the stock market's not going to be real happy with you sometimes.
I can tell you that the people in Kentucky and Tennessee are kind of pissed off right this minute, too, because of our liquor sales. Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
Jack Daniels is off the shelves in Canada, and we'll talk to Zucchino about that. The 51st state, they should secede. Oh, they're not the state yet. That's right. Okay.
Speaking of Zucchino, we better take a break here because we got to get to him. He's gearing up and getting ready to get out on the golf course, call some action for PGA Tour Radio. So let's take a quick break. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I'll be back with Mark Zucchino right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America, Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett.
Hello.
We're so excited about this week and today, starting as we're taping the show here, starting the first day of the Players' Championship. Guys are getting ready to get out on the golf course and tee it up, and Scottie Scheffler getting ready to defend his title and see if he can become a three-time-in-a-row winner at three-peat. So all that is what we're going to be talking about. And we're joined now by our good friend Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio, and also notably a resident of the 51st state in the United States.
And future governor of Canada.
We're
state of Canada. Yeah.
We're so happy. And apparently Frank is not happy, Mark. And Mark Zucchino said, hey, Mark, how you doing? Frank's not happy because Jack Daniels can't get imported into your country now. Is that the problem, Frank?
Yeah.
Let me
tell you something. They're boycotting the PGA Tour this week because of what you people in Canada have done to us in Kentucky and Tennessee.
God.
No whiskey. No whiskey, baby. How you doing, buddy?
Crown Royal. Oh, man. I'm good. I'm good, guys. I mean, I can't keep up with the daily news. All I know is I don't care what they do, but they got to fix this stock market, guys, because at the rate this is going, I'm going to be doing PGA Tour Radio until I'm 91 rate. So
I have an interview. I have an interview at Walmart today here in Nashville. So
the 401ks are not.
Oh my! I'm going to be working in the golf department at Walmart. Not selling PXGs, I can tell you that, right?
Hey, Mark. So you're there. You're on site. Going to be calling some of the action. Give us a little scene setter. I know you've been looking at the course. Everything Frank was saying visually on TV, but in person, is it as immaculate as ever? Is the weather going to be okay? Give us a little bit of a preview.
Yeah, the course just looks absolutely spectacular, but that seems to be the way now, right? On an annual basis when we get here, it just looks pristine. They've made it look so clean. It's it looks Augusta National-like in a way. Very different than the golf course from the early 80s, Frank, which I know you're familiar with. We used to call this part of the world the home for many years, and it was so rustic. And I think it was a lot more difficult, the golf course, if you go back for the first decade this place was open. But that being said, it should be fun. I think we're going to get very good scoring, guys, on Thursday and Friday. So get your birdies early. We had 3 inches of rain on Monday, which really softened the golf course. And it's going to make it gettable for the first 36 holes. But then you better hold on, because if the forecast is accurate, we've got really gusty, breezy conditions coming Saturday. Of course, the course will be dried out by Saturday, so then you throw that wind on it. And then Sunday, there's a potential storm coming. And we don't know when it's arriving. They're suggesting it's between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. on Sunday. We'll have to keep our eye on that. Hopefully, it slows down and comes later. But with a lot of gusty winds and breezes and potential storms starting up for the weekend, if you think there's a 65 out there, which I think there is, or even a 64, you better get it on Thursday or Friday, because it ain't going to be there on Saturday.
Yeah, and that wind's going to be coming out of the north too, which is the way that course was designed by Pete to play it into that March wind, and it's going to be really tough. I'll tell you, Hurricane Scotty may show up. What do you think?
I mean, if he putts without the blindfold this week, guys, he should have a chance to win 3 in a row, right?
I mean, he just does that to make it fair for everybody else.
Yeah, you know, it was a really interesting decision last week. I've never seen the blindfold for 4 days, but, I mean, it was horrible. Wasn't it hard to watch? It's such a shame because, you know, tee to green, if you look at the ball striking numbers from last week, he's exactly where he's been for the last several years. He is dominant, and he was dominant last week. If he had a putted 0.000 and not gained a fraction of a putt against the field, if he had been smack dab in the middle of that field, he would have finished 9 under par and, you know, would have been sniffing around that leaderboard come Sunday with a chance to win a golf tournament. But, you know, that's putting with, you know, basically, you know, exactly on zero. So this is a guy that if he gains, you know, a half a stroke to 1 stroke on the field with his putter, he's going to win somewhere around 7-8 times, right? I mean, what happened last week, and it's likely going to happen this week if he's able to do it. I'm assuming he's been doing nothing but trying to figure this thing out and grind on it. And, you know, I worked PGA Tour Live last week, so I was in studio watching it. I wasn't on the ground last week for Arnold Palmer. And the stroke actually looked fine from my vantage point. I don't know what you guys saw, but I thought the stroke was fine. I thought his pace was off on putts where you need confidence and you need to hit it a little firmer or it's going to bail on the low side of the hole. He just couldn't find the confidence to hit it with enough pace. And I guess that's just a result of not getting good results. So you start to, you know, maybe just not, you know, have that authority at impact, so to speak. And I thought the reads between him and Ted Scott, I don't know if they need to bring Ted in for more reads or get him out for less reads, but something's got to change, because whatever they were doing at the Arnold Palmer, they misread. Sunday was ridiculous. I don't know what they were looking at. The reads on that front nine, especially when he couldn't pay off any quality golf shot, their reads were horrible. So, hey, they went back to back here. They should know these greens. There shouldn't be a problem with the reads this week. But then again, you know, he won 2 of 3 at Bay Hill as well. So it'll be all eyes on that putter early. And if he doesn't make putts early in this round, guys, on Thursday, I think the narrative is going to get louder about the putter. It's all we're going to be talking about.
Well, I think, too, and this is what's interesting, and we're joined by Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio, who's joining us from Sawgrass at the site of the Players' Championship, is it's those 3-4-foot putts that seem to be, if you look at Jordan, you look at Rory, you look at Scotty, those guys miss way more than you think. I mean, we all miss them, but those guys, I think they get into that zone of, okay, I should be making this putt, but it's not a tap-in. That zone right there, whatever that is, 3 or 4 feet, causes these guys, and I get it, there's more breaks sometimes than we can see on TV or whatever, but they do seem to have an issue with that, probably mentally, knowing, okay, it's a 94% chance I should make this putt, and it gets in their heads, because we see it with Scotty and those guys. When they're not putting well, those shorter putts kill them, and it's just, it drives you crazy. You watch Jordan Spieth over a 3.5-foot putt sometimes, and it's almost like you're going 50-50. He's a great putter, but that area is like, it's a freakish zone for those guys.
It's look at Rory last year coming home at the U.S. Open, right, guys? Yep. I mean, it was and to your point, I think, Tim, and I think you're bang on, and it's like this, it's funny, it's the one thing, there's not many things that the three of us or anybody listening today, there's not many things that we can relate with what these guys do on a golf course. We can't relate with 340-yard tee shots. We can't relate with, you know, three irons that go, you know, 40 stories in the air. These are things we can't relate with. But we can relate to anxiety on little putts. We can relate to putting expectations ahead of your process. And you see it time and time again with some of the guys you mentioned. And the minute they get out of their process, and the minute they get away from their small little workstation, and I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I said, the great putters either have no thoughts at all, or they have like these small workstations where they've kind of almost ignoring, you know, what the end result is and what's in front of them. And they're working on that like little 6 to 8 inches between their feet that they can see directly down the bottom. It's like, okay, I've got my ball lined up where I want it. And they've fallen in love with that aim line that they draw on their golf ball. And they work on that. Okay, my first 3 inches, the putter's gonna, you know, go back here, and then I'm just gonna roll that line on my target line. And they almost have disassociated themselves with anything that isn't directly in between their feet or their shoulders. I think you're either one of those guys, and we see them out there because they agonize over that putting line, and they will refuse to roll the rock until they have that line on that putter exactly where they want it. And then they come after that. That's all they're working with. Or, you know, you're Ben Crenshaw and or Brad Faxon or, you know, one of the greats of all times on the greens. And you find a high point in a putt, you roll your rock, you feel it into the hole, and you're somehow able to calm your mind and not think about it, anything. If you're not one of those people, if you're everybody else in between, I think that's what we see. We see just expectations distract and build anxiety, and it's so tough to watch sometimes with these guys. It really is.
Well, the days of the bullseye putter, which is what you're talking about with Crenshaw and Faxon and all those guys, are long gone and have given way to putting with a satellite dish. I mean, some of the crap that they putt with today, and I don't mean to disparage people's product, but and I'm not going to say the name of it. I don't want to do that, but there's a putter out there that has a big old hoop on the back of it, and everybody knows what it is. I couldn't putt with it. I tried, and I couldn't get used to it. I putt with an Allen putter from PXG, which is the same principle of that, and it keeps that club face square all the time. It doesn't let it rotate. Yet last night on the Golf Channel, they were talking about, well, but I really would rather have a blade or, you know, the Ping Answer style putter. It just looks better, and it does. I don't know what you putt with, Mark, but, I mean, when I look at a Ping putter down there, it's just what I'm used to and what I've seen forever. Now I've got a pretty massive-looking putter down below me, and I had to get used to it too. So I don't know. I guess everybody's tinkering with shafts and putter heads and concepts and center shaft, and I don't know. Most pros that I've ever been around or know have a garage full of putters. I mean, they can't get a car in there because of the putters, you know.
Yep.
They just do.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there's 90 different ways to get it done on the greens. But I would say anybody listening, if they're going to pick a putter, first of all, you got to love the way it looks. If you don't love the way it looks, it's not going to build confidence. I firmly believe that. And you got to know what kind of putter you are. I mean, if you're a person who putts very rounded and the putter swings inside and it has like a little arc to it, then those center shafted putters with, you know, zero torque and high MOI, they're not going to be good for you. Those putters are made to go straight back and straight through, like an arm on a grandfather clock. So you got to know you know, where your eyes are. Are they inside the line? Are they above the ball? Do you have any arc in your putting stroke at all? If you don't know those things and you're trying to pick a putter, good luck to you.
How dare you bring up age in this conversation, Mark? The grandfather term. Thanks so much, brother. I appreciate it. So let me ask you this. I mean, you've been surveying the premises all week. Is 14, is it as hard as it looks like it's going to be to me? Because it looks like they've turned it into a monster hard hole.
Yeah, I mean, 14 now, if you bail, and I never really understood, guys, why players would bail up the right there, if you want to know my honest to God truth. Yes, there is a penalty area up the left. Okay, I get it. The water's in the play. We've seen Tiger hit it there over the years, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen so many players hit in the water left there over the years. But that's a wide target. If you stand out there in the middle of the 14th fairway and you don't try to force it down there, and I mean by force it down there, you get it down in that 3 to 320 range, it tumbles over the hill and it gets very narrow at the bottom. And if you pull it off, you got like a little flip wedge, depending on wind conditions and where the tee is. You've got like a little wedge and a short iron in there. So, if you can do it, hats off to you. But you also bring that left side into play. You're running out of fairway up the left. You're bringing the bunker, the water, et cetera. If you take your medicine there and, you keep it back from the throat, that's a wide target. But so this year, if guys choose to bail up the right or lose it up the right, I mean, not only are those moguls way more severe than anything we've seen in previous years, the rough on that hill and the moguls they built is ridiculous.
It's deep. Yeah.
My gut says, guys, it's a sideways out pitch. It's something sideways or some wedge back to safety. If you hit it up there and are somehow able to advance it somewhere around the green, go buy a Powerball ticket because you have got a horseshoe this week.
Well, if you see players pulling out their phone, and because they have an app for that now, you can buy a lottery ticket online on an app, then you'll know what their confidence level is. God, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a fabulous tournament, like Tim and I discussed earlier. I'm devastated that, again, I'm not there 2 years in a row because of some things I'm dealing with medically. So I haven't been able to get on an airplane and fly anywhere lately. But my heart's going to be there with you, my friend. I miss it so much. I watch it on TV at night with my wife, and she just looks over at me. She said, "Are you okay?"
With tears in your eyes.
Yeah. She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "My allergies are bothering me." You know, I'm like, I want to be there, damn it.
And, Mark, by the way, Frank would also like you to say hi to a few of his old girlfriends. So he's going to give you a few names.
Do not mention my name in public.
If you could just go talk to him. You remember Frank from 82? Oh, yeah, Frank. Yeah, Frank, how's it? Hey, by the way, we talk about how tough this golf course is, and the best round ever is a 62. Tom Hoagie shot a 62 a few years ago. Up until then, it was 9-under, right? It goes back to Fred Couples, Greg Norman. Guess who's one of the 9-under guys? This tells you how unique the golf course is, and I guess to the point of earlier with Scottie Scheffler saying, hey, almost anybody could play well or play terribly at this golf course. Colt Knost is one of those 9-unders. Colt Knost shot a 63 at Sawgrass.
So that's unbelievable.
He's not obviously a big hitter. Yeah. I mean, that tells you the variety of players.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. You know, Mark,
we had this conversation earlier in the week, and no one could come up. Nobody could come up with a real reason as to why it is so widespread on the different types of players. But I guess at the end of the day, I don't think that trend is going to get any different. Although the last five winners have been top 10 players in the world. So that's kind of a new trend. But I would say that now that I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think I almost in a way think driver, unlike most of the golf courses we play week in and week out, driver's not the most important club here. Guys hit a lot of three woods, a lot of two irons, a lot of hybrids off the tee. And I wonder if that's why this place has just become so open to the entire field, because we get to some ballparks now. They're so long. They're so tough. We're playing like 510-yard par fours. And if you're not an elite bomber of the golf ball and you're not, top 20, 30 in the world in strokes gained off the tee. Good luck to you. Yeah. This is not that place. And I think that's kind of why.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I know you're a busy man and you've got to get out on the course. You have a 9 o'clock wheels up, I believe. They're in.
Yes, sir.
So yep. We appreciate it. One, I want to back up and say just one thing. When you said the course you think was tougher back in the 80s when I lived there, you're right. It was. But it was tough. It was tougher to play, but it was also kind of difficult because you had more snakes, more gators, and more malaria in that swamp. There was a lot of underbrush there in those days, my friend. But anyway, hey, have a fantastic tournament, and give our best to all of our friends there at PGA Tour Radio. Tell them hello for us.
I will, guys. You guys have a great week. Frank, enjoy it on TV. I know you'd rather be here. Tim, I know you'll be watching. So.
Yep.
Enjoy the players, guys. Let's do
Thank
it again
you,
soon.
Absolutely. Okay. Safe Have travels, my friend. See you, Mark.
From Canada.
Got
Mark's,
it. Yeah,
Mark's a keynote. PJ Tour Radio, yeah.
Great guy. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I looked at my clock, and I went, oh, crap, he's got to go.
No, you're right. Yeah, he's got to go.
He's got to go.
Got to get his gear on and get out on the golf course. The guys are the sun has already come up on the East Coast. We're Central Time, so our – God, it's still dark early, isn't it, Frank?
Yeah, it is.
I don't like getting up when it's like pitch black. You feel like it's 4 a.m.
I know.
It's not really that early.
That's usually when I go to bed
savings.
In the old days.
Stop daylight savings. Can we just put that out there? I just don't care anymore.
I don't
Why do we
either.
Do it? It's like it's something from the 60s or something to do with farming or whatever.
It has to do with the poor little kids on the street corners.
We don't need to mess with it, do we? Gee, many Christmas.
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Do like Arizona. They just keep the clock same every, year round.
Hey, I will tell you, I'm going to back up to what I said to Mark about the malaria. That was a swamp, and it was donated by some friends of mine on that land. We all, I'd lived down there forever, but before TPC Sawgrass was built, Sawgrass Country Club was across the street there. It's just right there, right on the ocean and A1A. It was donated for $1.
Because they didn't think it would develop into anything?
No, they knew it would. Okay. The tour was going to put their headquarters right there.
Yeah,
but the land was donated for $1, and all they wanted was $1 and to maintain the development rights of the housing all around that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So they got their money.
Yeah, those cheap trailer homes that are down there. I wish I still owned my house that was on number five fairway on Country Club. It's worth 25 times what I paid for it. It's just nuts.
Well, people don't appreciate that. I think when you look at it, and maybe that's to Zucchino's point of, what it was 30, 40 years ago, that it's become more of a resort-looking, lush environment than probably when you're first back. It was still very raw, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Still very much a swamp that had a few. Now they're building a golf course, but you could still see the, if you will, the rusticness, like you said, the swampiness of it. Now, when you look at it, or you certainly see the aerial shots and all that, it just looks like a beautiful golf course development
right,
with fairways and greens and houses and buildings. And you probably don't even realize it was
no houses on the course itself at TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are houses on the course for the stadium course, but the valley course, there are homes.
You realize too, what is it, Frank? Is it a mile? Not even a mile to the beach?
No, it's not even a mile. No,
okay, because when they do the aerial shot or the blimp shot or however they get it, drones or whatever, you can see how close they are. Yeah. And you can see other golf courses around there. So it does look like another Myrtle Beach, Florida kind of area, which the golf courses
and
all
it
that,
isn't. But, trust me, it is not. Yeah, it's unique in every way. And just right up the road. Literally, you have Ponte Vedra Beach. If you head north on A1A right there, you're immediately in Jacksonville Beach. Just bam, bam, right there together. And then you're in Atlantic Beach. And then if you cross the river there, the St. John's, take the ferry, you're at Amelia Island. And then, about 25, 30 miles up the road from there, you're at St. Simon's Island and Jekyll Island and Sea Island. It's just, it's pure, gorgeous golf all the way down that strip. And the beauty of South Georgia and Northern Florida, it just can't be replicated anywhere in the world. It's absolutely unique.
By the way, my son, I don't know if I told you this, he's getting married in the fall. He's getting married in St. Augustine.
You can't talk him out of that? You can't talk him out of that? What is he doing to himself? Oh, my God.
But he's getting married in St. Augustine.
Oh, is he? Oh, that's going to be beautiful. Yeah. St. Augustine is just right there south of Ponte Vedra. It's just right there, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, driving A1A, looking at the ocean the whole way.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. That's coming up.
That's going
to
be great. Yeah.
In a few months. It'll be kind of cool.
You're going to go play TPC Sawgrass while you're down there?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I think we're only really there for just the kind of festivities. So I think we're, you know, I'd have to squeeze that in somehow. I don't know if I'm going to get permission to be able to do that.
When is this? June?
It's not till it'll be. That's a good question. November.
Oh, November. Oh, crap. Yeah. Well, it'll still be nice down there. Yeah. I'll be able to travel. Okay. If you can squeeze out a couple of extra days.
Yeah.
Out of the
I'd like to.
Let everybody go back. You and I'll stay. We'll go play. We'll go play Temecula, where Furyk and Friends has played. That's my old country club, too.
Yeah.
And TPC Sawgrass, we can play Sawgrass Country Club also. So.
And before that, I just found out that we made arrangements, my wife and I, for a trip with some friends. I'm going to Greece this summer, and we're going to because we've always wanted to go to Greece and haven't gone there.
You've never been?
And never been.
Oh, okay.
And we've got a friend who's Greek. His family's from there, so he's kind of the tour guide, and he's going to be there and show us around
food.
his hometown and all the thing. But on the way back, we're going to go through Heathrow, and it occurred to us, while we do that, why don't we just stay an extra few days, and we're going to go to Scotland and play a little bit of golf.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so that'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to
that.
And
what month is this going to be?
This will be July.
So it'll be cold there.
Yeah. Well, that's chilly. Okay. Because it's supposed to be hot in Greece, which probably isn't ideal, but I'll be okay. I mean, I've never played Scotland, so I can't speak, but I know enough people who have that can tell you that whenever you go, it could be 70 and sunny, or it could be 40 and raining sideways.
Yes.
So good luck.
Well, if you want to get a taste of what that's going to be like,
anyway,
just go run right up to Kiawah Island and play the ocean course. And it's the same difference. I mean, it's in the summer, it's warm, but whew. You'll have a blast, though. Greece is gorgeous, man.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous. And Mediterranean food is the best. It's the healthiest in the world, too, by the way.
Well, and like I said, he's from there, so he knows a little village and a little town, and he knows the baker over here to get whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we're looking forward to his hometown of Kikinukinukopoulos or whatever it is. I can't repeat it.
George Stephanopoulosville? I don't know.
Yeah, his name is Mihalopoulos. Frank Mihalopoulos.
Oh, another Frank in your life. That's just what you need.
Another Frank. So anyway, that'll be coming up in just a little bit. So
who do you think's going to take this tournament this week? Who do you think's
hot? I don't think it'll be Scotty. There's only one three-time players winner, Frank. Who would that be in history? Not in a row, obviously, but who's won it three times?
Who's won the Players' Championship three times?
Three times.
So Elkington won it twice. Tiger didn't. Jack Nicklaus.
You're right.
Yeah, it was. I was thinking back. You know, I'm going to know the player's history. It was Jack Nicklaus, and he won it in Michigan when it was up there, and he won it at Sawgrass Country Club also before TPC was built. Yeah.
Did not know. Did not know. Another little trivia.
There you go.
The last first-time winner. So it's a golf course that's, as we just said, challenging for everybody, but it's very tough for a first-time player's competitor to win it. The last to do it was, and then not big name, but Craig Perks.
Yeah, Craig Perks.
2002 in his debut, and it hasn't been done since. So that's
one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, too.
20 years ago.
Broadcaster, but Craig's one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. Yeah. Great guy.
So it's only, and Tigers won it twice.
Yeah.
Phil won it back in 2007. So, you know, there have been great, great players, and there's been some lesser known guys.
What former college golf coach won the Players' Championship?
A former college golf coach. He became a college golf coach after he won.
No,
he was a college golf coach, and then he won the. I don't know.
He was my girlfriend at the time. I'm very married now, but at the time, my girlfriend's next door neighbor on 7 Mile Drive there in Ponte Vedra, right there on the Valley Course. Yeah, TPC Valley. Fred Funk. He was Maryland golf coach, wasn't he? University of Maryland.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he won it.
Yeah.
See, and he's not a big hitter. I mean, didn't win it, but he scored very well.
Well, it's a matter of playing it smart. Yeah, it's not a driver golf course. I mean, they're making it tougher and tougher, but longer and longer, whatever, and tighter, but it's a mini driver, which guess who has a new mini driver out, by the way, that I'm getting?
PXG?
Yeah.
And is it by mini? You mean it's like 8 inches long?
Yeah,
it's for the carnies.
Sorry.
They all get out of
no, it's just a smaller head, more like a 2-wood, something like that. And so
I tell you what, I hope as much as anything, I hope Sunday it comes down to a tight race, because I got to think that 18 at Sawgrass is one of the most challenging tee shots to hit.
Oh, God.
You need to hit a great tee shot.
Oh.
I can't imagine not staring at that big old ocean of a lake there and thinking, oh, my God.
The tee box points you into it. The tee box points you into it.
And they all inevitably push it to the right, which push you in those trees and the pine
moguls and the
all
trees.
That. So now you're going, okay, now I can't get to the green either.
Well, no, now you've got to hit it out of there, and it's straight toward the water again.
Yep.
You're going straight out
and
toward
I'll tell
the water.
What, the guys that lace a beautiful little draw on that hole when they need is I take my hat off to them.
You know what they do after they hit that shot? They go, whew.
I know.
They wipe their forehead and go, whew.
And as a lot of the announcers go, he did not mean to do that.
Exactly.
I can tell you right now, he did not mean to hit that little draw that brought him within 10 yards of the water. By the way, wasn't it DeChambeau a few years ago when he was allowed to play that came up with the strategy that they had to – wasn't he hitting it over the pond there to the left?
Well, he said he was going to do that. He said he was going to do that.
Yeah, until they made it OB or something.
And they
right?
immediately made a local rule it would be OB.
Because that was actually – which, again, I love Bryson. I give him credit for the thought.
He shouldn't have said it, though.
How else can I look at it?
He shouldn't have said it, the dummy.
Just do it.
Shut your mouth, Bryson, and
I guess the word would have gotten out, because in his practice round, somebody would have gone, did you see Bryson? He hit it 350 yards, but he hit it way over the – well, as soon as you get over there, now it's not such a problem, right? You're going, oh, now I hit over the pond, which is –
well, but you come if you come back over the Lake Michigan, you know, Lake Pontevedra there – when you come back over it that way, though, you're dealing with out of bounds over that green. If you,
well, I know, but I think he was his practice rounds. He was hitting like an 8-iron. I mean, it wasn't a big shot for him once he got it far enough to the left, and he's like, I can hit an 8-iron.
Yeah.
You know, 175, whatever it is going to be. That was a strategy,
it's going to be so good. If I could, I'm having retina surgery tomorrow morning. If I could fly, I would be on a plane tomorrow afternoon and down there. I can't.
Will you be able to see? I mean,
I have a patch over my left eye. I have
a few days.
Real surgery, not laser. This is real, like cut your eyeball open.
Ooh,
I know.
But for a few days.
Yeah, so for a few days.
You'll be able to watch it out of one eye.
Yeah.
The players.
Okay. watching my.
You'll see half the field.
Yeah, watching it, and I can't even watch it in 4K. I'm going to watch it in 1/2K. You know what I mean? Jesus.
You're going to break the pirate. He's going to be sitting there going, watching the golf tournament here.
I'll have Pam take a picture of me.
Got a pirate on my shoulder.
You see it. You'll
be like a swivel chair. So anytime that there's a shot, you have to turn your
– There's not a swivel.
Good eye.
There's not a lounge chair or a swivel chair in this whole house. I can tell you that.
No, you need one so you can turn.
Somebody made a comment. Eye. Why don't you get you these new like chairs that, I said, no, it's just like a Barca lounger like Granddaddy had. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, no. Uh-uh.
That's one of those you give into being an old person.
Yes, I'm not giving into that.
Things, you're like, I'm not going to do it.
No, I don't look that old. I don't feel that old.
Yeah.
Everything, including whatever's falling off of me, but what the hell? You know?
Nothing's working.
Nothing's working, but I'm having fun.
Well, good luck with the surgery.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be good. But you really don't have a pick for this tournament, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. Going back to that, you know,
Moonwalk.
I just don't think I love Scotty, and it's hard to say no because he's so dominant and so good. But I just don't know that he can do three in a row.
Colin Moore,
phenomenally. Colin's one of the guys. I was going to say Colin is definitely one of the guys. I saw his caddy yesterday. They on typical Wednesday they have a practice round and they have a little caddy event
on the
17th hole, and he got a hole-in-one.
Yeah. Well, there were two hole-in-ones on 17. Yeah, two hole-in-ones. And I'm trying to remember whose caddy was the other one. Anyway, the 17, what they do is everybody puts in, all the players put in some change. Okay.
Right.
Into a big jug.
A little spare change.
Yeah, a little spare change. And the caddy wins that, whoever, plays that hole the best.
A
hole-in-one, I think, gets double or whatever.
Should probably take it. Yeah.
So
anyway, I like Morikawa. I think, you know, there's guys that have been playing well, and I know there's some more obscure kind of guys as well that aren't necessarily the guys. you know, I'm always a Jordan Spieth fan. I don't know that he can do it. He's had a couple of good tournaments, but nothing great. No. But he's still working on getting his swing down. And I don't – that's a whole other story. We'll do a whole show on, you know, can Jordan ever get his swing back? And that's the thing that Mark was bringing up about Scotty is if you get his putter working, the rest of it falls into place. Jordan's problem is that, yes, his putting is normally very, very good, and his short game is. It's the big stick in his hand. He doesn't often know, and he's having troubles, if it's going left or right. And that's not Scotty's problem.
You can't play the game at that level with not knowing where it's going.
No, and that's his problem. And so I'd rather be Scotty, right? I'd be, okay, I'm missing some putts, but I can fix that. Scotty's drives with that little fade of his is almost dead center every freaking – he just has it. And Jordan is the opposite. Jordan hits a nice cut sometimes, a little draw sometimes, and then he hits it over houses sometimes. And I don't think he knows from hole to hole which one it's going to be. You know?
Hey,
and
you hard you, to pick him. We're gonna Harrison Fraser going to join us next week or so.
Yep,
I think.
Yep.
That'd be great.
He said he had some time, so we'll get Harrison to talk to us a little bit and what life is, how life is going for him, and
that'll be
PGA Tour champions.
We might give probably should have had Elkington on with us this week, too.
I think we've done that the last few years. So, yeah, we kind of gave him a break, I guess, for leading up to this because he has some good stories about what it's like to play.
And I'll give Hal a call and see if we can't get him maybe next week, too.
Okay.
If we could, you know, put that in the can for a show, that'd be great. Get certain to talk about that Ryder Cup, too. Because it is coming up. Maybe we save that for the Ryder Cup. Let's save Hal for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Get him close when we get to the Ryder Cup, when he – would love to, because it was a, and I'm still very upset by last Ryder Cup with Zach Johnson and the team he picked and the players he put out there and the embarrassment that the U.S. suffered through that whole thing. And I love the Ryder Cup.
Karma.
But it's just, it's so frustrating. We lose, it seems like, year after year to, and I'm not saying they're nobodies, but the U.S. on paper every year is Tom Brady and the Patriots. They're just better on paper and then they go and they either lose or like that one, they lose big. You're like, how the hell did, but that happens. So
it's
Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup.
It's gonna be like Tennessee Titans, you know. Oh, by the way, the NFL free agency is wide open right now, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Signing teams, signing players.
We should have had Earl Forsey on too. I mean,
a lot of the. I'll tell you what, those Commanders.
They're going to be strong. They're going to be scary.
Team, which he has waited his whole life since Joe Gibbs days, and they're back. I mean, they're a very, very good team. So, he must be.
Well, Joe Gibbs was a great coach and a great NASCAR team owner, too, isn't he?
It was kind of a weird combo, wasn't it?
Not really, you know.
You don't think?
Not really, no. It's just high-octane sports, baby.
Yeah. You don't see too many guys have those combination of things on the resume. I won Super Bowls and I won Daytona.
I could understand Super Bowl and Formula One, but not Super Bowl and NASCAR.
Yeah.
Turn left.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
Very
not to make fun of my friends in Daytona Beach, but anyway. All right. Well, so, we probably need to get out of here, don't we?
Yeah, we probably should. We probably should. I want to remind everybody to check out Invited Clubs. Invited Clubs are a sponsor of ours and has been for years and years. We love them. So check them out, Invited Clubs. Go to their website and find a club near you. Check them out. Kick the dirt a little bit. See what their course is like. But they've got pickleball courts and tennis and pool and all kinds of great clubs all over the country. InvitedClubs.com. Be sure to see what they've got for you.
As well as PXG.
Oh, PXG.
I'm a brand ambassador for PXG. Absolutely love the product. Check out the new Allen putter and the new mini driver that they have. PXG builds fantastic golf clubs, and they will improve your game. Go get fitted today. So there you
PXG. Go. There you go. Hey, we'd like to thank Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio for joining us. So everybody, if you're not listening to Golf Talk America on a podcast, you can listen to PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM. And follow the boys and all the action week after week, but certainly this week at the Players' Championship. So thank you, Mark, for being with us. In the meantime, for Frank Bassett and I'm Tim Matthews, thank you all for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.